So everybody stand and grab a songbook. Turn to page number.
283,
say it again.
283. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on
Christmas song.
This ain't a Christmas song?
What?
You had the opportunity and you didn't get another Christmas song in there?
My first one was a Christmas song.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you and my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line.
Behind, if you would win for God in the world, so keep on the firing line.
soldier he can trust. And you wear a crown, wear a cross. You must keep on, keep on the firing line. Love to banish evil and bless you, so keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Against all evil, never run or even like a chicken. If you would win for God in the right, so keep on the firing line.
All right, we have a few announcements this evening. First thing, we have a men's meeting this evening, right after the service, and that means we're going to have our business meeting this coming Wednesday night. December 9th is the Awanas Youth Group Men's and Ladies Bible study, and so make sure you come out for that. There's something for everybody to do. This evening is our second part of our Youth Sunday. We'll have Brother Jesse Hanks is going to be here with us this evening, so make sure listen for all that. And I think that's all we have coming up. Pastor, you got anything else? Nothing else. Okay. One other thing we have is the in the back we have our little church, and that's for the offering and everything like that. So if you we notice we aren't taking the plates around, but we just have the offering in the back. Okay. If there's nothing else, we got Josh and Bryson are coming to sing. And of course, Bryson goes in the back.
Okay, right there.
Good. You see it, all right?
Jesus, I rise above all doubt and strife, and read my title clear.
I truly know my name.
I know it's written there.
I know
my name is written there. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll.
I know, I truly know.
My name.
I know it's written there.
I know.
My name is written there.
Yeah,
inward trouble often cast a shadow over my title, but now with full salvation blessed, praise God, it's ever clear.
I know,
I truly know.
My name.
I know it's written there.
I know.
My name is written there. While others climb through worthy strife to call the name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there.
I know,
I truly know.
My name.
I know it's written there.
I know.
My name is written there.
I know.
My name is written there.
Did anybody else come to sing? Ruby, come on.
Number 3, ref.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you.
Anybody else? All right. It's my great privilege to introduce the preacher tonight. He's my son-in-law. We've watched him grow, and we're very excited. He's been out teaching or preaching to the youth group, and really things have really gone good. So we're very, very proud of Jesse. You come on and bring what the Lord has on your heart.
Okay. It's good to be in church tonight. That's something that I know, at least I took for granted this year, is being in church. And it has been a rough year, but I'm thankful tonight that we are in God's house and we are able to worship Him together. And I'm thankful for the songs that we've sung so far. And I'm thankful for that I know my name is written there. And I'm thankful that I can make my heart, the Lord can make my heart a sanctuary, that He could prepare my heart to worship Him. And I'm thankful that He wants to dwell in me and I dwell in Him. And tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 27. I'm going to preach on a man in the Bible that I think we can all find a similarity with. And I want to... Each gospel kind of tells it just a little bit different, and I'm going to kind of read a little bit from each one of the gospels tonight of this story. And that story tonight is about a man called Barabbas. And tonight, my message title is, We Are All a Barabbas. And I want us to think about what had happened to Barabbas and think about our lives. And no matter where you are in life, at some point, you have been or are a Barabbas. And so I want to start in Matthew chapter number 27, And in verse number 11, but before I read, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your Bible, and I thank you that I'm able to come in your house and worship you tonight, God, and bring forth your word, Lord. And thank you for those who have come out tonight and who are searching for something from you, God. And I pray that you would just help me to preach the message that you've given me, Lord. And I pray that you would, Lord, give something to these people, God, that they may take it in, Lord, prepare their hearts to receive the message, God. And I pray for the remainder of this service tonight, Lord, and that your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight in Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 11, it says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." I want you to go ahead and turn to Mark in chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 2. And if you're not familiar with where we're at in the Bible, this is when Jesus was right before Jesus was to be crucified. He was become before Pilate in a courtroom. And Pilate basically gave Jesus the opportunity to defend himself for the things that was being accused of him. And he said nothing. And Pilate was to release a prisoner. And he had asked the people, would you want to release Jesus? And they had asked for Barabbas. And that's who we're talking about tonight. And they had asked that Barabbas be set free. And then it went on to say that they decided they want to crucify Jesus and release Barabbas. So Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 2, and it says, "And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto them, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered no thing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him who ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. And look in Luke chapter number 23 with me. Luke chapter number 23. So we're seeing here that Barabbas, it says in Matthew that he was a notable prisoner. And then it says in Mark that Barabbas was a murderer, that he was committed insurrection with them. So we see Barabbas is a horrible man, and he was a sinner. So in Luke chapter number 23, in verse number 3, it says, "And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." Skip over to verse number 13. It says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. For a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate found nothing wrong with this man. And Jesus wasn't even answering his accusers. He was sitting there silent, and Pilate marveled at this. And he said, "You know, I shall chastise him and release him. I find nothing wrong." And they said, "No, we want Barabbas. Crucify this man." Look, lastly, in John chapter number 18, it's the last portion of scripture we're going to read, John chapter number 18, in verse number 37, it says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber." That's where I'm going to quit reading tonight, but the first thing I want you guys to notice about Barabbas is that Barabbas was a sinner. And who can raise their hand tonight and say that they are also a sinner? Every single one of us in this church is a sinner. But I want you to notice that it says he was a notable sinner. He was a murderer, he was a robber, and he was thrown into prison. But what I want you guys to realize is, in God's eyes, we are all that notable sinner. We are all, no matter what we have done, we are all that notable sinner. And something that my dad had said this morning, he was preaching on Noah and the Ark, but something that my dad had said this morning was, who in their mind has something that they think they would never do, and that someone who does it, they should be destroyed immediately or put away for the rest of their life or whatever it is. Everyone has that judgment in their eyes, you know, that spot that they would never stoop to. I would never do that, and people who do that need to be killed, people need to be put away, whatever it is. But what I want you to realize is God is so holy, he is spotless, he is clean, he is free of sin, and that every single one of us have sinned in some way, shape, or form. It is all the same in God's eyes. We all deserve death. We all deserve to be put away. We all deserve hell tonight. And that is something that we are born with. We're born with that sin nature. And we all sin, and we deserve of hell. We don't deserve of any of the blessings that God gives us. We don't deserve his grace. We deserve hell. And I want you to notice first that Barabbas was a sinner. And next, I want you to realize that Barabbas had consequences for his sin. Because of this sin, because he was a sinner, he had to deal with the consequences of that sin. Instead, he was a robber and a murderer. And even in today's age, you're going to have to deal with, you know, physical consequences in this life because of those things. But I want you to realize tonight, you in this church, you might not be a murderer or a robber, but you have consequences for that sin that you're holding on to, whatever that may be. Sin, when it is finished, equals unto death. No matter the situation, no matter what it is, sin equals death. And I want you to realize that it says in here that he was bound because of his sin. And if you let sin hold you down, if you let sin take hold in your life, it's going to hold you back as a Christian. It's going to kill your spiritual walk with the Lord. It's going to kill relationships with your family. It's going to kill your relationship with your church. It's going to run rampant in your life, and it's going to take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And I want you to realize tonight that if you're looking down on someone's life and you're thinking, you know, God, you need to get this person because I've been praying for them and they're still living in sin. And take a look in the mirror and look back at yourself and ask yourself, are you spotless before you go and before you cast a stone at anyone else? And I want you to realize that there's a consequence for sin. There's something that has to be done because of your sin. Because of the sin that you deal with on a daily basis, because of the sin that you were born with, there is a consequence that must take place. There's something that must happen for you, that you have to deal with your sin. And I want you to realize that he was in prison. He was behind bars. He was dealing with the consequences of his sin. He was chained up. He was bound. He couldn't do anything with it. He was there. He had no choice but to face the consequence of his sin. He had to face it and deal with it. And the third thing that I want you to realize is that Barabbas had a savior. Barabbas had a savior. Jesus took his place in that prison. Jesus was the only one that was spotless and was guilt-free, but he took his place in that prison. And Barabbas was later on set free because of Jesus. And I want you to realize tonight that if you're not saved, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you tonight are a sinner. You are a sinner and you are living in sin no matter which way you look at it. No matter what you're doing with this life, you are a sinner and you're living in sin, and there is a consequence for your sin. And you're going to have to deal with that consequence. You're going to deal with it here on this earth, but you're going to have to deal with it one day when you come before God. And I want you to realize that you have a Savior tonight. You have Jesus Christ took Barabbas' place so that way he didn't have to die. And Jesus died on the cross for him. And I want you to realize that Jesus died on the cross for you too. He is the answer for your sin. He's the fix for the problem that you have, and that problem is your sin. Barabbas was set free. I can see Barabbas sitting in that cell, thinking about himself, and thinking about his sin, thinking about how he couldn't do nothing with it, and those guards came to him and said, "You're free to go." Barabbas had a new life from that day forward. I'm sure he went out of there a changed man. He went out and he told people what Jesus had done for him. And I want you guys to realize tonight that I'm a sinner and that I have consequence for my sin. But thank God I accepted Jesus and realized that He could take that sin and He set me free. I'm imagine church tonight. There's people that live like this, and there are Christians who are saved and have been set free from that sin, but they won't take the shackles off, or they won't walk out of that prison. They're still living in their sin, if you will. They're sitting in that jail cell with the door wide open, and they won't walk out and get away from that sin. Or maybe they'll walk out and they'll live right and they'll do what they're supposed to do, but they'll choose sin again. They'll walk right back in it. They'll walk back in that jail cell and they'll live in their sin. I want you to examine yourself tonight and realize, you know, are you living in sin? Have you been taking your sins to Jesus and asking Him to forgive you and trying to walk a sin-free life? It's something that we have to press toward every day. And I want you all to realize tonight that we are all a Barabbas in some way, shape, or form. And I'm thankful for the day that I realized that Jesus had took my place on the cross, and he changed my life and put me on a track that I would never put myself on. And I remember when I was about, I guess it was 13 years old, I went to a new school, and it was about that time that I was kind of starting to feel my oats a little bit and started to realize, you know, I didn't want to be in church every Sunday, and I wanted to do things that I wanted to do, and I wanted to live the way that I wanted to live, and you know, I only do this because mom and dad make me, and I was going to a new school, and when I got to the new school, I got in a crowd with, you know, a saying that Pastor Jason McNeese used to say is, birds of a feather flock together. So I found all the kids who didn't want to listen too, and I hung out with them. And I started making bad decisions. And even at 13, 14, 15, I was on purpose living in sin, I guess you would say, you know. And I was making choices for what I wanted to do. I was not listening to what my parents had brought me up in, and I didn't have my own walk with Jesus Christ. Every single one of us, no matter if you were raised in church or whatever it was, need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ personally. And I went to a new school, and I went there from about 7th grade to about 10th grade. And I was going there, and I had all these bad friends, and I knew that I was living in sin. I was on purpose living in sin because I didn't want to live a Christian walk with Jesus. The summer of my 10th grade year, I had gone to a church camp that I had never gone to before. And it is in the middle of nowhere. And the church camp that I went to, honestly, you know, there's some church camps that are like, it's all fun and summer camp, and there's also church. Well, this church camp is church camp. That's the only way I can describe it. It's basically you are in church 6 hours out of the day, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the night. You're doing devotions, and God got a hold of me. You know, after 5 days of that, and not being able to have the distractions of this world, and not having, you know, that wrong crowd around me, and I remember sitting in the pew, and I remember making every excuse not to get up and go to that altar and ask God to save me. And I knew that I needed to. That's the thing. I told you I was on purpose living wrong. I knew God was knocking on my heart. and saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. And I didn't want to let him in. And a guy stood up and he said, and at the time I wanted to pursue the military, and there's nothing wrong with the military, but I knew that my parents, they, my brother had just gone to the military, and had a, they told me that if you don't have a strong spiritual walk when you go into the military, it tears at your spiritual walk. It tears at you. It's hard. And I'm thankful for all those who do serve in our military, but, they told me, my parents had told me that my brother went and it had really hurt his spiritual walk, and I was going. I was going to the military. That's what I wanted to do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm going to the military. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with it, but I was planning on going no matter what my parents was trying to tell me, no matter whatever, and I was going. Well, this guy had stood up and said, you know, preacher, I gotta share something. And it was right before the altar call, and he stood up and he said, if any of you are in here thinking about getting saved, or that God is pressing on your heart to get saved, please go to the altar and get saved now. And he said, I remember when I was 15 years old in this camp, and he said, I got saved and I didn't do anything with it. And I walked out of here. He's like, and I joined the military and it tore my life apart. I kid you not. These are the words he was saying. He's like, it tore my life apart. And now I'm trying to recover all that. I'm trying to get a close walk with God. He's like, but if you're not saved in here, please get saved. And I knew that was God speaking straight to me. He said, are you listening to what I'm saying? And I was ignoring it still. I was saying, I am not listening to what God is saying. I was fighting it. And I knew I was fighting it. And, you know, and they had the altar call, and I told myself, no matter what, I am not going up to that altar to pray. I am not going up to that altar to pray. I was telling myself that. And my cousin was sitting next to me, and he said, you know, could you come up and pray with me? Something's burning on my heart. I need to go up and pray. Could you? And I just need you to come pray with me. He didn't want to go up by himself. And I said, okay, I can go up with you. Well, I get up to that altar, and I knew that I had to do business with God when I was there. And I told myself I wasn't going to get up until I did business with God. And I stayed at that altar. I don't know how long it was, but I knew everyone else had gotten up. And then my grandfather came down and prayed with me. And he didn't know what I was praying about. He was just trying to be, I was praying and you know, in my mind. And I accepted God as my Savior that day, and I looked up at him with tears rolling down my face, and he said, did you do business with the Lord? And I'm sure he probably knew what was going on. And I said, Pop, I just got saved. And I remember I had grown up in church my entire life, and I put on the show as a Christian. I've done all the things you're supposed to do in church. I've raised my hand, I praised the Lord. I did everything I was supposed to do. But I remember I got up on that stage, and the Bible says that God inhabits your praise. And I remember that when I stood up on that stage, and the preacher said, well, Jesse, what happened? You know, and I said, I just got saved. And I raised my hand up, and I felt God like I never felt him before. I felt a burden lifted off of me. And I'm thankful today that when I think of myself as a Barabbas, and I know I was a Barabbas, I was a sinner. I had consequences for my sin, but I had a Savior. And I'm thankful today that God saved me. And I put on, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I put on there on Thanksgiving that I'm thankful for God's blessings on a man who doesn't deserve them. And I was looking at myself and my life and where I'm at now, and I have an amazing wife and a house and a good job. And I never would have chosen that for myself. And the choices that I made because of God, you know, my 11th grade year, I went to go to another school. It was a Christian school as well, but I went to another school, and there was a pastor there who took me under his wing, and he showed me things in the Bible, and I ended up getting called to preach that year. And I just see how God worked in my life, and I'm so thankful for what he's done. And I want you guys to realize tonight that if you're a Barabbas tonight, and you realize that you're a sinner, and you're choosing to live in that sin, because I was choosing to live in that sin. I knew better. I was choosing to live in that sin. Just accept Jesus Christ tonight, because he has a better choice for you than that. He has a better life for you than you could ever imagine. And I'm thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm thankful for what he's going to do. And I want you guys to realize that Barabbas was set free and he had another chance. And I want you to realize that no matter where you've done or what you've done or where you've gone or how far you've gone, Jesus Christ will forgive you and he will save you tonight. And there's no better night than to do it tonight. And Pastor, if it's okay, I have a song that I want to sing before I get down. I normally sing it with my brother. I don't know. It's going to probably be pretty rough. So pray for yourselves as well. I normally sing it with my brother, and my mom plays the piano. I think I was just going to do an acapella. But I'm thankful tonight that God saved a sinner like me, and that He's still saving sinners. And even while He was going through the steps to take place for Him to die on the cross so He could save me and save you, He was saving Barabbas. And he saved the thief on the cross and many others that we may have never heard of. But I want you to think, while I sing this song, think about it as in Barabbas' case, and think about it in your life and how it pertains to your life. I'm going to try to do my best with this one. I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven. When mercy walked in, I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken, I was born again. The moment when mercy walked in, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. That's all I have for you tonight, church. And I just pray that if you're not saved tonight, tonight is the night that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And tonight is the night that your life could be changed, and you can feel that burden lifted off your shoulders that you're carrying with you in this life. And I pray that if that's you tonight, that you would make the right choice. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'm turning it over to Pastor Dennis. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for Your Bible, Lord. I thank You for, God, Your saving grace, God, and Your mercy that we don't deserve, Lord. And Lord, I thank You for what You've done in my life, God, and what You're going to do. And I pray that, Lord, if there's someone in here tonight that's not saved, and Lord, who is not sure what to do, God, I pray that You would just help them, God. I help them to, Lord, make the right choice and turn to You tonight, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Stand at our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I wonder tonight, perhaps, if you're here and you just never realized that you were the one that He died for. You never realized that you were the one whose place He took when He hung on that old rugged cross. But tonight, Brother Jesse's message has helped you to realize that you're the one that stands in need. You're the one who was condemned. You're the one who had the consequences for your sins placed upon Him when He died on that cross. And tonight, you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I know tonight I'm not saved. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior according to God's Word. It's not about you belong to a church. It's not about you went to a form or a fashion or anything else, but you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. And tonight you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You don't know the time, you don't know a place when you personally invited Him into your heart and you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. There's nobody looking, you, me, and the Lord. The Lord knows your heart, you know your heart. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you, embarrass you, point you out. I will pray for you is all I want to do. Is there one tonight? Maybe, Christian friend, you're here tonight, and you could say to yourself, and you'd say before God, Lord, I know that You paid a great price, and You paid a great debt to set me free, and yet I've taken it for granted. I've sinned against you. I've sinned. The Bible says when we sin, we crucify anew. That means, it don't mean we're lost again, but it means that we've just squandered the great cost that had been paid for our salvation. And you know there's sin in your life that is unrepented. Sin in your life that brings reproach upon Christ. And you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. That's me. That's me. I have sin in my life. I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. We'll pray for you. We see your hand. Amen. I tell you what, no greater thing to do, no greater place to do it than at this old-fashioned altar. What makes it old-fashioned? Because it's still the place that sinners come to find repentance. It's still the place sinners come to meet Jesus. If you need to come tonight, won't you come? Won't you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Won't you ask Jesus to restore the joy of salvation in your heart one more time? Maybe, Christian, you need to come tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got just a special burden. And you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Just pray for this special problem, this burden, this issue that I'm dealing with. Maybe you're burdened for a loved one. Maybe you're going through something in your own life and you're just needing somebody to covenant with you in prayer. We'd love to pray for you as the one tonight. We're not going to sing a song tonight of invitation. We're not going to go through some form or fashion, but our altar is open. And perhaps, maybe I haven't touched on something, but perhaps you just need to step out and come tonight. Perhaps you need to meet with Jesus here tonight. You need to speak to him. You just want to step out from where you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. We just want to pray with you. We want to help you find the peace, to find the deliverance. Can you imagine the joy in Barabbas' heart when he found out that he was set free and someone else had took his place? Can you imagine the change that was in him? You can have that same joy and that same peace tonight. If you'll let go and let the Lord have his way. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for its truths. We thank you for its peace that it brings to our heart when we know that we've surrendered all to you. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the young man who has delivered your word to us tonight and shared his heart. And God, we ask you to take each word that has been spoken tonight and just move in hearts, Lord, the way that it needs to. We know your word will not return void unto you. You've told us that in your word. And tonight, God, as it's went forth, Lord, let it just speak to each heart and each life that need that needs to be dealt with, and that sin that needs to be taken care of, whatever it might be, Lord, and help it, God, just to accomplish that which you would have it to do, Lord, to just bring conviction and bring conversion, Lord, to bring peace and to bring assurance, Lord, as only you can do, and through your word, it might be accomplished. Have your will in your way. Be with us in our men's meeting. Help us, God, to honor you in all that we do, and Lord, help us not to forsake you, not to fail to give thanks and glory unto you, for it's in your name we pray. We say amen and amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Good night. God bless you. Men, don't forget, we got a men's meeting up front here real quick. I need you to come on up. And thank you, Brother Jesse, for the great message tonight.